Turn with me this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Starting in verse 22, let's hear the word of God. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Again, Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing on the word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts, open our minds to receive it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, every once in a while we get bad news, what we perceive to be bad news. 21 years ago this morning, I was on my way to Cleveland, ready for another day of work. And got to the depot, and it was weird. People were just standing around. We had a television there. They were watching the TV, and, you know, what's going on? So we got some bad news. Terrorists attacked the Twin Towers there in New York City. And we're immediately fearful that these terrorists were everywhere. We found out that not only were the towers taken down, but one of those planes had actually come over Cleveland and turned around and headed back towards Washington, D.C. And some passengers got together and forced that plane down in a field in Pennsylvania. Another plane did make it down in D.C. and crashed into the Pentagon a little bit. And we had what was relatively an unusual situation for this country. We haven't seen anything like that on that kind of a scale since Pearl Harbor. That was a few years before. We looked at that and we said, that's bad news. Sometimes the bad news is not so bad, you know? Sometimes the bad news that we get is, you know what? There's no more toothpaste in the tube. Yeah, squeeze it for all you're worth and you can't get any more out. How do we respond to those things? People are people. They all have different personalities, different makeups, and people respond to bad news in different ways. You know, they get upset and do things, or they go hide out, or they do whatever it is they do. Jesus had received some bad news. Jesus had received the news that John had been beheaded. You know, a couple of things about that is it was in the decree of God for that to happen. But looking at it strictly from an earthly perspective, this was a whim. John is beheaded because a lady don't like him. she's really mad about this guy. She doesn't want him preaching to her. And so she goes through her schemes and has her will worked out, which was really the will of God, ultimately. But when Jesus got this word, how does he respond to that? We consider our Lord and his place on this earth, and we forget that he had two completely different natures. He was completely divine, 100% divine, and 100% human. And the human side grieved at the loss of John. And Jesus, when he got that news, just wanted to be alone. He wanted some time alone to go and talk to his Father. So he went and he did that for a while. But even in those times, even in those, I don't want to say desperate times, but they were definitely a trying time, Jesus was still about his Father's business. He didn't say, okay, Father, you know what? I really am not happy about this John thing. And I'm thinking I'm going to just take some time off. I'm not gonna do this anymore. He didn't do that. Jesus was always about his Father's business. That was why he was here, to carry out his Father's will. The multitude, who many of them had followed John, were now following Jesus, and they were interested in what the Lord had to say. And they were expecting ministry in spite of what occurred with John. And so Jesus put aside that human grief for the moment in order to minister to some people. And he sat him down on the side of a mountain and he preached to them. And he gave them the word. And more than that, he kept them a little while and they became hungry and he fed them. He says, look, I can't have these folks out here, sitting all day and not have something to eat. Excuse me. So he says to the disciples, hey, let's feed them. And the disciples said, wait, what? And there was a little guy there, had his lunch, his mom had packed for him. Yeah. Mom always packs you a good lunch, right? He had 5 little barley loaves and 2 fish, sardines. Now, 2 sardines and 5 loaves is not going to be an even sandwich, Something's got to give somewhere. But what was given was the boy's lunch. He gave it to the Lord. He says, look, there aren't any McDonald's around here. The Lord said, what do you got? And he multiplied that. He miraculously multiplied that and fed everybody until they were full and still took up 12 baskets afterwards. How you get 12 baskets out of 5 loaves and 2 fish? You only do that by the power of God. He blesses these people. He continues the work that the Father gave him to do. Now, an event like that, is sensational. People see that and they get stirred up and we want to be involved with the miracle worker. We want to be around this guy. He goes in and he makes blind eyes see. He restores withered arms. He does all kinds of things. And, producing a meal like that out of so little Many, many, many of them were excited about the work, but they weren't excited about the Lord. So they followed him, but they didn't follow him for the right reasons. Now, the day was wearing on, and Jesus was getting ready to shut down for the day. You know, the people had been fed spiritually and physically, and he said, it's time to send them home. But they weren't inclined to do that. So Jesus instructs his disciples. He says, you guys, go get in a boat. And you set out a little bit. And if the people see you guys leaving, they know I'm not going to be that far behind. And so they might as well, you know, dismiss and go home for the night. And do that sort of thing. See, Jesus was smart, you know, doing that, right? They look and they see the men going, and so, okay, I guess it's time to go. You know, Billy Graham and some of the other guys that had these great crusades, they used similar technique. When he comes to the end of his sermon and he gives an altar call, the first people that are heading to that front are the workers. Now, the audience at large, they don't know that. They just see people getting up and heading to the front. But these guys have arranged it. It's set up so that, and the thinking is that other people will see you walking to the front, and they'll be emboldened, and they'll say, I wanted to go too, and so they'll follow down. You know, it's kind of a herd mentality, I guess, if you want to use that kind of thing. I mean, hey, if you want to lead a herd of cattle, what do? You just get one. Just get one and start him moving, and all the other ones just follow right along. So Jesus is sending the disciples out, and he said, maybe the people will go home now. After he sent them out, it was once again some alone time for him. The disciples were out on the boat heading to the other side of the lake, of the sea, if you would. And Jesus, it says, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So now when the evening came, he was alone there. Now, we ought not become hermits, you know. We ought not be people who go hide in caves or wherever, never see the light of day, you know, except once in a while kind of a thing. That's not our calling as a church. Our church is to be among the people given the gospel. That's what we're supposed to do. But that doesn't mean you never have alone time. And when we get that opportunity, we should value it even as much as Jesus did. To take that alone time and commune with the Father. To spend time in prayer and just, you know, private worship, if you would. And Jesus is involved in that. The disciples, on the other hand, are doing what they were told. They're being obedient. They're in the boat and they're heading on to the other side. It says, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Okay. You know about them contrary winds, right? Yeah. See, where Jesus was alone, communing with the Father in a bit of quiet time, things were not so quiet for the disciples. That sea that they were out, it was notorious for the sudden storms that would occur. Now, most of these guys were experienced fishermen. They'd been raised, on the water. They made their living on the water. They knew about these circumstances. They knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to, do all these things. But they could still be shaken up by something that's unexpected. Most of us have lived in Northeast Ohio almost our whole lives, And occasionally, at least once or twice a year, storms will come up and they'll tell you, hey, there's a tornado watch, or there's a tornado warning. The last real bad one, I think, was in 1985. But, it's like, even though we live here, we know that this stuff happens. When it comes up, it still makes you a little nervous, And so that was no different than these guys. They were experienced. They were used to being out there, but the storms come up, it still shakes them a little bit. Now, it's dark, and the boat that they're on is not that big, and they're a couple miles out. They're in the middle of the sea. Have you ever been out on an ocean? No? How about, you ever been out on Lake Erie? No? That's a big body of water. You got a swimming pool in the backyard? You been out on that? Lake Erie, in relation to an ocean, is not all that big. But a few years ago, I had an opportunity to go out. We were 15 miles out, and it was, I wasn't ready to jump out and go swimming. I mean, it's like, no, I'm just fine right here. And I'd always heard about people who got seasick. Never understood it until that day. I didn't get seasick, but that boat would just go, and I said, whoa. Okay. Dramamine. Something. These guys are out, and this stuff is going on. Where they're at, the water is deep. The boat is vulnerable. The boat's small. Today in our modern world, we can get forecasts that tell you if you're in a small vessel, you don't go out. The waves are 4 feet high or something like that, kind of a thing. And that would just really make for a wild afternoon for you to be out there on that. They didn't have that. They're out there. The boat is vulnerable and the winds are picking up. They're not subsiding. Things are looking kind of grim. Now think about this. Just a couple of hours before, everything had been fine. Everything was great. They were eating. They were sitting around and probably laughing with each other, and they were listening to the Lord teach them. It was all good. Just a couple hours before. But now everything seems to have changed, and whatever grace that they had experienced at that one moment now seems fleeting. And then what are they doing? How are they handling it? The Lord hadn't changed. Jesus was still Jesus, but he wasn't with them physically. He was not with them. And so, what's going on in their minds? When times are good, faith is really easy to have. When the cupboards are stocked, the bills are paid, gas tank's full, and we're healthy as all get out, it's easy to have faith. Look how God's blessing us. This is the bizarre boast of so many of the big places in this world, the big churches in this world. They say, see how God's blessing us because we got 20 bazillion people here. God blesses even when we have five. Don't ever let that get away from you. God is here just as he is in those other places. God doesn't require a huge audience. When things are going well, our faith is easy to hold. But when the wind was blowing and the waves were growing and the little boat is being tossed about so violently in that water, what's that do to their faith? Does it shake them a little bit? And you know, the thing is, they launched out from the shore somewhere between 7:30 and 9 o'clock at night. And, you know, it was okay then. And now they're out there and the questions are arising to them. Is this the end? You know, we always thought that this day would come, but we never thought since our encounter with Christ that our end would come this way. We expected to one day lay down and die peacefully in our sleep. We never expected that God, after he called us into his service, would allow us to encounter this kind of a thing. And this turmoil has gone on now for hours. You know, if it gets really bad, we might get scared a little bit. But if it's over in 15 minutes, okay, got through that one. Here they are in the middle of the sea. All this stuff is going on, and this is going on for hours. Any minute now, they're expecting a big wave to just take them over. It tells us, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. That's between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Remember, they launched between 7:30 and 9. This is between 3 and 6 in the morning that Jesus comes walking to them. They've had all night long to deal with this. You know, when you've been up for that many hours and your body is weary and your mind is even more so, things can kind of like play tricks on you. They're looking out there and they're seeing a man walking on the water. And that ain't natural. Those things just don't happen. And remember, the nature of these guys from their work lent itself to superstition. And they believed in ghosts, you know. They had their superstitions from their pre-Christ days, and these things come back to them. And you understand, they didn't have spotlights on those boats. If they had any lights at all, it was just a little lantern, and it wasn't going to be blasting out there very far. And so they're looking out across the water and they see a figure of a man coming at them. And it's like, it's over. This is the end. The Grim Reaper is coming. They did not sit down and start saying, now I lay me down to sleep. How often when we find ourselves in a trial, when we have those scary moments, do we always attribute the things that we encounter to the workings of the evil one? It's got to be the devil. The devil is harassing me in this way. These guys think they see a ghost coming after them. When sometimes the things that we find ourselves into could actually be the workings of Christ himself leading us through another step on the path to cause us a little more growth, a little more strength. Perhaps the things that we find ourselves in are the workings of Christ so that he might demonstrate more fully his love for us. Now, Jesus could have had some fun with these guys, you know, if he was inclined. If his sense of humor was kind of like mine, which thank God it wasn't, yeah, we could really have some fun with these guys. Woo! Coming to get you. Jesus didn't allow their minds to be tortured with the thoughts of a ghost. Jesus didn't allow that. Immediately, he speaks to them. He says, be of good cheer. How do you take that when your boat's being tossed all over the place and a ghost, and you're thinking, saying, be of good cheer. But he follows it up with, hey, it's me. It's I. It is I am that is standing here before you. God incarnate was speaking. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm here for you. And the Word of God has power. It affects them. You know, even as he was with his disciples, by his Spirit, he's with us. We are not alone. Don't let the nightly newscast scare you to death. Do not let the newspaper's headlines freak you out. Christ is with you. He stands next to you. And his promise is he's not letting you go. The surroundings might be a little scary, but you are secure. Because the King of all kings has you by the hand. That's the one thing, the last song that we sang, I would alter the one verse. It says, Lord, I would clasp my hand in thine, and vice versa. It should, Lord, the other way around. You know what I'm saying? I would clasp thy hand in mine is the way the song goes. And it's more correct to say, my hand in thine, because he has a hold and he don't let go. We get tired. We slip out, you know, that kind of thing. He doesn't let go. He holds you. As a child of God, we are always safely in His care. Now, I'll wrap this up real quick, but I always like to have fun with this part because it is fantastic. This is Peter at one of his highest points. You know, Peter was impulsive, always shooting his mouth off when he should step back a bit and think it through. But he says, Lord, if this is you, tell me to get out of the boat and come to you. What if it wasn't? Is it? Wait till you see what I do to this guy. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Come on. But that's exactly what Jesus said to him. Get out. Come on. Peter said, all right. The Lord has spoken, and Peter is confident, which is our character trait this week. Confident. He jumps out of the boat. And he walks on the water. Peter's doing that. His enterprising mind is thinking, you know, if I could do this when I was fishing for a living, I could walk anywhere. I don't need a boat, you know. I could just walk out here and scoop them up. You know, when Peter got out of that boat, none of the conditions around there had changed. He took God at His word. He took the Lord Jesus at His word and just jumped out. The wind was still blowing. I mean, the waves were still crashing. The boat was still rocking. But he said, okay, the Lord said, so I'm getting out. I am going to take this step of faith. And he gets out of the boat and he starts walking. The Lord's there, Peter's over here, he's walking on. And it's like 5 or 6 steps across this water, it dawns on him that he can't do this. Can't do that. Fifty years ago, they told my dad, don't need a school. You can't teach kids. Don't need it. Yet the call was on his life to do that. So 47 years ago, he said, okay, we're doing it. And he started. And somebody said, you can't do that. 47 years later, still doing it. Sure, the numbers have grown and shrunk and grown and shrunk. But the ministry goes on. It continues on. And will continue on. Not because we're so great, but because God is. God is faithful to His call, to His word. And the calling on His people is without repentance. Peter's walking across there, says, I can't do this, and starts to sink. Did he start doing the backstroke? No. Dog paddle? No. What did he do? He didn't do anything natural. He said, Lord, save me. There is no other way. I've done something from a human standpoint that is completely stupid. I jumped out of a boat in the middle of a sea, and it's in turmoil out here, and I start walking across. I can't do this, and save me, Lord, because I can't save myself. And immediately, Jesus reaches down and takes him by the hand and pulls him up. Now, how cool is that? You understand that Jesus is standing on water, pulling a 200 and some odd pound man up. You know what leverage he needed? He needed none, because he is the Son of God. He had command over the elements. And he reaches down and pulls Peter up. And together they walk back to the boat. For Peter, it's just as true for us as it was for him. The Lord Jesus is where we will derive our comfort. When the storms about us are tossing and making us nuts, we go to Christ. That's where we find our comfort. It's where we'll find our rest. That's what Peter did. We find it in the presence of our Lord, in the power of our Lord, in the promises of God, and in his love for us. We can rest for sure. And there was one more blessing that came out of that encounter. And that blessing came to the guys who did not get out of the boat. Were they bad men because they didn't get out of the boat? Were they bad men because they didn't have enough faith? Not at all. It wasn't for them to get out of the boat. It was for Peter to get out of the boat. Yet they were quivering, they were shaking, they were nervous as everything else. But they got blessed. Why? Because Jesus got in the boat with them. And everything calmed. Everything relaxed. They went about their business. There were a lot of lessons involved in that little encounter. Big one for Peter. But just as big was the lesson learned by the other disciples. You know, they might have chided Peter a little bit. Say, hey, good one, Pete. Jumping out of the boat like that. You know? You could see Andrew, his brother, you know. He said, Peter, didn't you learn anything? And yet he gets blessed as well. The blessing of God is rich and touches all who come encounter with it. I don't know. That's good stuff, I think. Don't listen to the bad news. You want to know what's going on in the world? You got to tune in, hear what's going on in the world. But don't get lost in it. They don't win. The world, as the world, will kneel to the King of Kings. We don't have to be afraid of the storms, because Jesus is with us. That's his promise. And I believe it. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for the encouragement.